We got one more guest, one more segment here for this Wednesday edition of Bang the Book Radio. That is professional handicapper Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
It's going well. How about yourself, Adam?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate your time as always here. Thank you for being flexible, getting the segments done here on Wednesday after I couldn't do the Monday show. And we got plenty of stuff to talk about here, so we'll go ahead and dive right in. We'll start in college football. And you know, you and I originally weren't going to talk about this game on the segment, but we were talking for about 10 minutes before we started recording here. And a lot of our discussions centering around this game, the Big 12 championship game, game 109-110, Baylor and Oklahoma. Oklahoma, anywhere from an 8 to a 9-point favorite, market kind of all over the place. But something that stands out to both of us here and something that we talked about, Oklahoma just a few weeks ago was a 10.5-point road favorite in Waco. Now under 10 in a neutral setting.
Yeah, this is a really interesting line because before this one came out, I would have assumed that I would lean toward Baylor here. I like Matt Rhule as an underdog. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I know he's done very well as an underdog. Baylor's 8-4 ATS so far this year. In general, they've been a very good team. Oklahoma only 5-7 ATS. And as you and I talked about, part of the reason for that is Oklahoma seems to, you know, have at least one quarter where they play really poorly in every game, sometimes a couple quarters. But, you know, this Baylor team, I know they're coming off that shellacking of Kansas. I don't know that that means very much. You could say that that would adjust the line just a little bit because, you know, 61-6. Oklahoma probably is the bigger reason for why this has moved down. But still, I mean, that's like you said, it was a significant move. I'm surprised. Based on what the number was before, that it's this low before, this time. To be honest with you, it's also interesting to see 71% of the bets on Baylor and 76% of the money on Baylor. As you and I were talking ahead of time, Oklahoma's fourth in the nation in yards per play margin. Usually teams like that get bet on, especially when they're laying less than double digits. So the fact that they're not getting bet on here, Baylor's catching quite a bit of money, is certainly very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It's a strange line. It's kind of a strange game, too. Again, you know, you've got five of these 10 conference championship games here are rematches. And it's always interesting to look at the adjustments that have been made to the side as well as the total. I mean, Wisconsin-Ohio State, not a game that you and I are going to talk about, but that total is up 11 points now from where it was when those two teams played back in the regular season several weeks ago. But it is always interesting to look at these adjustments. And in this one here, you know, you do have the total going up, the side coming down a little bit. And something else you and I talked about before we started recording here, and I've mentioned this a lot on the show throughout the season, Oklahoma has been so good from a yards per play differential standpoint because their offense has been absolutely elite and their defense from a yards per play standpoint, much better than people realize. They've taken that quant money, grabbing the opening line early in the week, just about every week here so far this season. That didn't happen this week. And that's really interesting to me here, too, that the numbers guys even didn't jump on that Oklahoma train early in the week, or maybe they did, and it just wasn't enough to counteract some of the early Baylor money.
Yeah, I found the number on Matt Rhule. He's 31-15 ATS as an underdog. Certainly very impressive, just slightly better than Matt Campbell, who's been, you know, very good as an underdog. I certainly think that some people know that he's done well as an underdog, and that could go against the fact that some people would want to take Oklahoma based on the yards per play differential. I do think that, you know, it's interesting that the game before went the way it did. You know, Baylor ahead by so much in the first half, and then you know, come back, Oklahoma wins the game. I don't know if, you know, if that's supposed to give Baylor some edge here that they want revenge. I would hate to bet a game based on that. You know, this is a game that means a lot to both of these teams. Oklahoma, if they win this game, like you and I were talking before this, you have to feel like they have a decent chance of making the playoffs. So, I mean, I can't give Baylor a motivational edge in a game like this. I just don't think that, you know, when you get to this time of the year, it's very easy to find motivational edges. You know, we'll talk about that in bowl season, but this week I can't find an edge.
No, I can't either. And something else that we talked about on yesterday's show with Ralph Michaels, and this is an interesting point too, whatever happens to Utah on Friday night, can have an impact on what happens to Oklahoma on Saturday. If Utah wins a close game, or obviously if they lose, you know, then the ball is in Oklahoma's court. And they may have some more incentive to try and run this thing up if they get the opportunity to do so. With the total going up, would suggest that, you know, there will be some points. We'll see if those points come, you know, equally distributed on both sides in this game with Baylor and Oklahoma. But, you know, that's kind of an interesting dynamic here too. The thing that scares me, and I talked about this yesterday and we talked about it before we started recording, Oklahoma will play one really good half and one really bad half. And if they do that here, not only do they have the chance at losing this game, and a very good chance at losing this game, but they probably wouldn't make the college football playoff either. They probably need some margin here unless Utah loses, you know, although, and again, politics come into this too. Oklahoma's a bigger draw than Utah. It sucks. You're never going to get the four best teams more often than not. You know, if you're getting the four best teams, Georgia would probably be in it this year, win or lose against LSU. But politics will come into play. And Oklahoma will travel better, will draw better, will create better storylines than Utah. So for better or worse, Oklahoma probably does control its own destiny here. I guess we'll see if, you know, if that has any kind of impact on how the game plays out.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think if all things were equal, that Oklahoma would probably get in. And, you know, depending on how these games go, certainly if Utah dominates, Oklahoma squeaks out a win, then certainly Utah has a chance to make it in. So you could say that, you know, would make you think that Utah has plenty of reasons to want to run up the score against Oregon. You know, whether they can or not is a different question. But I had a couple other numbers that I wanted to point out about this Baylor-Oklahoma game. Really, this is a pretty fascinating game, and I'm not sure if I'm going to bet this game. You know, like I said, I would have kind of wanted to bet Baylor, but I can't bet them at this number. But Oklahoma's 13th in third down defense, only giving up 31%. And yet they're 126th in red zone defense. So 93% of the time their opponents have scored when they get in the red zone. Oklahoma's defense is kind of a mystery to me. You know, they're 44th in yards per play. They're 13th in third down conversion percentage. And yet they're giving up a lot of points. So certainly they're -5 in turnover margin, which has something to do with that. Baylor is +12. So maybe you'd expect some regression of the mean there. But Oklahoma's had a little bit of a turnover bugaboo this year that would concern me for laying too many points too.
Yeah, it's extremely fascinating. There's a lot going on with this game that I think is quite intriguing all the way around here. So, you know, a tough handicap, I think too, an interesting game, a lot of stuff going on, but a tough handicap overall here in this one. Speaking of tough handicaps, I think this one's become a little bit of a tougher handicap as well. Game 113-114 is Cincinnati and Memphis. These two teams played last week. Memphis closed about a 14-point favorite in that game. Didn't cover the number. But Cincinnati went with Ben Bryant in that game as opposed to using Desmond Ridder. So that was an interesting move where they had to give Ridder some time off. I think that was the smart decision by them. Now Memphis gets to face a different quarterback here in all likelihood this week, assuming Ridder able to give this one a go. The line adjusted down as well to 9.5, and the total down a little bit from 60 to 57.5 or so. Strange game, back-to-back games for Cincinnati in the same spot against Memphis. What do you do here?
This is a really hard handicap. I will say that if Desmond Ridder is not any more healthy than he was a few weeks ago, I'm not sure he's an upgrade from Bryant. I think Ridder is a good quarterback when he's healthy. I don't think he was even close to healthy there for a while. Cincinnati was extremely conservative on offense, not getting much of anything done offensively there for quite a while. Some of those games, like against Temple and ones right before that, Cincinnati was really fortunate to win. You know, I couldn't bet Cincinnati in this spot, and I don't really want to lay the points with Memphis, but that's still my lean. Memphis is the much more explosive team. Cincinnati's certainly the better defense, but with the line adjusted down, with the Cincinnati team that has question marks on offense, I think Memphis can score enough here. You know, can Cincinnati keep up? You know, it's hard to say. This is, I don't like a 2 weeks in a row game. You know, it just puts more unknown into it. And as I've said before, it's kind of like the stock market where, you know, unknown is a very big negative if you want to bet on sports. You want to know what you're going to get. Last week's game means nothing to this one. You know, there's nothing that you should take away from last week. that applies to this week at all. That game really didn't matter to Cincinnati. So Cincinnati, you know, was very smart to sit out Ridder in that game. I assume he'll play here. If he doesn't, I don't know that it's that much of a downgrade, like I said, based on, you know, his health here of late. But to me, you know, my numbers suggest that, you know, Memphis should be just a little bit bigger favorite than this. At -9, my lean is Memphis, but I'm almost sure I won't bet this game.
Yeah, this is challenging. My line's 11.5 for Memphis here. So, I mean, I would lean the Memphis side. I may end up taking them because, look, I mean, these are the tightest lines of the year. You know, I don't have any power ratings value on any of these 10 games. So you've got to start looking at matchups. You've got to start looking at what matters to you. You know, maybe some coaching mismatches, things of that sort. I think Memphis is the better team. I think Memphis is definitely the better offense. I think people don't realize how good Memphis's defense has played so far this season. They gave up 24 points last week. They gave up some long drives, in particular in the second quarter, and that does concern me some. But Memphis is 31st in the country in yards per play allowed on defense. So they're not that much worse than Cincinnati, and they do bring the better offense to the table. Last week, Memphis settled for a couple of short field goals, did have that kick return touchdown to open the game, which kind of, you know, set the stage a little bit for that one. But look, I mean, both of these teams move the ball with relative success in the first half in this game. So I'm a little bit surprised to see the total adjusted down. I know the game came in under the total with 58 points, but both teams move the ball in the first half. Now, if Ridder comes back, that probably is to Cincinnati's detriment, like you said. So I think I would have to look Memphis if Ridder plays. If Bryant plays, I may take a smaller position on Memphis, but I just think they're the better team. I think both of these teams are well coached. I don't think we talk enough about how well Mike Norvell has done there in Memphis, even with some coordinator turnover too. I like Memphis a little bit here. I think I'd like them more if it's announced that Ritter's playing.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. And I will say that I totally agree with both of these coaches are very good. I think they've both done a really good job with these programs. Norvell, you know, he's going to be rumored to go to quite a few different places. You know, we'll see if he ends up leaving Memphis or not. You know, it is interesting when you look at the defenses here. They're essentially exactly the same in yards per play, 31 and 32. The only difference is red zone defense, where Memphis is 118th in red zone defense and Cincinnati is 15th. So Cincinnati's been able to stop teams in the red zone, force a lot of turnovers in the red zone. Memphis has given up too many touchdowns in the red zone. So, you know, to me, Memphis a lot more explosive. The other thing that we should point out here is Memphis is really, really good on special teams. They're third in the country, according to S&P. Cincinnati 25th, so pretty good. But Memphis, really good return game. So it wouldn't shock me if Memphis returns, you know, another kick for a touchdown or a punt return quite a ways, because that's been pretty normal for them this year.
All right, we got another rematch game here. Game 115-116, Hawaii and Boise State. Boise State, 13.5 point favorite in this one. Total of 64.5. The first meeting was extremely interesting. That was, once again, on the blue turf. Boise State, a 13-point favorite. Total of 60.5. And the game ended Boise State 59-37. So, do we expect things to go any differently here the second time around?
You know, I'm looking this one up as we talk. I see that weather could be an issue in this one, so keep an eye on that one. Some rain in the forecast there for Saturday. The question mark is whether it keeps raining by 4 o'clock or whether it stops before then. But, you know, a little bit of wind as well. Wind certainly more important than rain. If you can get the two together, then it's certainly the best for an under. But, you know, Hawaii unders don't interest me very much, you know, unless they're playing somebody like San Diego State. I don't like playing a Hawaii under, but I would say that, you know, Boise State's an interesting team because they started with Bachmeier at quarterback. Jalen Henderson, now the number one quarterback. You know, Henderson has played well. I've been pretty impressed with him. He's clearly better than Chase Cord. Cord wasn't very good there for a few games and they really struggled offensively. I don't know if he's better than Bachmeier or not. You know, he's the number one quarterback. I do wonder if he struggles some in this one, if Bachmeier will play or if he's totally healthy. But you know, Hawaii is a team I can't bet here. Hawaii's defense is just too weak for me to want to bet them here, only catching this many points. Hawaii's a good story. I like what they've done. I think Rolovich is a good coach. I like that he brought back the run and shoot type offense, where they're not, you know, just trying to run the football like they tried to a couple years ago. Hawaii minus 13 in turnover margin. They kind of swap out Cole McDonald and Chevin Cordero. Sometimes I wonder, you know, McDonald, it's hard to tell. You know, sometimes he looks like just the tremendous quarterback who could beat anybody, and then he goes to just throwing picks and fumbling and everything like that. But Cordero is a little bit more consistent, a little bit better runner as well. I'm not sure who will play more in this game. They may play both quarterbacks. I will say that Boise State just so much better defensively than is Hawaii. Hawaii is 110th in yards per play allowed this year. They're 92nd in red zone defense. Also, special teams should be noted here. Boise 43rd in special teams, Hawaii 110th. You know, Hawaii has shown enough times now that they have turnover problems that really concerns me too, because if they get behind, they could definitely throw some picks here. Boise State's the only way I could bet this game. I will say, you know, as you look at this, if it actually is going to be 45 degrees and raining and some wind here during this one, it definitely hurts laying 13.5 points. So this is one where I'll be watching the weather to see whether I want to lay anything like 13.5 with Boise, but that's my lean in this game.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think this is a game you look for live betting. You look for maybe a derivative play that you kind of like a little bit. You know, you try to find a creative way to play this game, because there are some additional question marks to this one. And look, you know, if you're Boise State, I don't know if the players will be scoreboard watching. I don't know if the fans necessarily will. If Cincinnati is beating Memphis, that opens Boise State up for that New Year's Six Group of Five bowl opportunity. Because right now, Boise State ahead of Cincinnati, trailing Memphis in terms of the you know, the ranking system that they use for that bowl opportunity. So maybe that's something that could be a motivating factor for Boise State here, where, again, if they get the chance to run it up, they're going to have to try and do that, because they want that New Year's Six bowl opportunity. Obviously, it would take a Memphis loss. If Memphis wins, it's not going to happen. But that may be a factor here too, where if Boise State can go to the locker room at halftime and see that Memphis is trailing or that Memphis is struggling, perhaps Boise State catches a second wind in that regard. Maybe you make a second half play on the Broncos, something like that, because they won't have the luxury of taking their foot off the gas.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that if it's close, Boise State second half is a good look here. And like you said, live may be a good opportunity, especially like if Hawaii scores first. Maybe take Boise State, or if Hawaii takes the lead in the second quarter or something like that. I think Boise State wins this game. Obviously, the margin is the question mark. And you know, I'm not saying Hawaii can't win this game, but Hawaii is weak enough defensively that it really makes me worry. You look at explosive plays given up. They've given up 37 plays of 30 yards or more. You know, not quite UMass bad, but pretty bad. That's 120th in the country. So I think Boise State will get a lot of big plays here, regardless of the weather, probably a little bit less if it is rainy and windy. But, you know, this Boise State defense is pretty consistently good. Hawaii, you know, we know they're a good offense. They don't play terribly fast. Most people think that Hawaii would play fast. They're actually 85th in tempo out of 130. So Hawaii, not a fast-paced team. They're just really efficient on offense. I do think, though, that, you know, Hawaii, if they have to run the ball and don't get to mix in the pass as much based on the wind and rain, you could say that that hurts them quite a bit as well, too. So I'm going to lean Boise State in this game. I don't know that I'll take a position before the game, but I certainly lean toward the Broncos.
Well, and it looks like a holding pattern right now. You know, this total hasn't moved. Several of the totals for the conference championship games have moved. This is not one of them. The sides come down through 14 a little bit, but, you know, this is one where it looks like we may have the luxury of waiting and seeing, you know, what that weather forecast may wind up looking like up on the blue turf there. Weather will not be a factor for this game. Game 117-118, Georgia and LSU. LSU 7.5 out there at Bovada and also BetOnline, but 7 the predominant number, total anywhere from 54 to 55 for this one. Look, LSU is in no matter what. Georgia needs a win to be in the college football playoff, but you still have the SEC championship on the line here, a motivating factor for both of these teams. What do you think about this one, Kyle?
First of all, I'm excited about this game as a fan. You know, this is a really good game. LSU, 72% of the bets on LSU so far and 80% of the money. Not really surprised there. I think Georgia has been disappointing on offense this year. You know, Georgia's defense has been very good. The offense has not been as good as a lot of people thought it would be. It's just so one-dimensional at times that, you know, it can be difficult. Swift is a little bit banged up. You know, he's going to play here. I think that this game is so interesting because it is two teams who do things totally differently. You know, LSU wants to go fast, throw the ball a lot, very efficient on offense. LSU's defense has not been very good, especially in the SEC play. I was looking at LSU's splits, and the fact that LSU is giving up 4.33 yards per carry in the SEC certainly makes me hesitate to want to lay 7 or 7.5 points here. I mean, Georgia's going to be able to run the football, you would think. My total in this game was 55, so I don't see any real edge here. You know, in general, I tend to want to bet unders with Georgia because they go so slow and run the ball so often. But LSU is not an easy team to take unders with. You know, to me, this is one of those games of strength versus strength. You've got LSU's offense against Georgia's defense. LSU's offense has been so efficient this year. I've really been impressed with what Joe Burrow has done this year. His completion percentage is really just so good that, you know, you look at it, it's almost hard to believe. Just so good on offense. Burrow has been a perfect fit for this offense. LSU, 59 scores on 61 trips in the red zone and 47 touchdowns. They are so efficient in the red zone so far this year. Georgia, opponents have had 21 trips into the red zone and only 8 touchdowns, which is the lowest red zone touchdown percentage in the country. So strength versus strength, who wins that battle? Very important for this game. You know, like I said, my lean here was initially that I wanted to take LSU. I just don't think the price is really that good. And like I said, I don't want to lay especially 7.5, the price 7 at most places now, but I don't know that I want to lay 7 points with a team that struggles to stop the run against Georgia, because I think Georgia will get their yards here. The thing is, you know, that doesn't automatically make you want to take the over. Some people would say, well, Georgia could run the football here. That should make you want to take the over. Georgia takes a long time, you know, 117th in tempo. They could do one of these, you know, 9 or 10 minute drives like Army or Air Force or somebody does sometimes, to where if they kick a field goal at the end of that drive, it really hurts your over. So I think that's something to keep in mind. Both of these teams really good. I don't think I'm going to have any action on this game. I do think that live betting could provide an opportunity if Georgia gets ahead. I think LSU likely wins this game. I'm not extremely confident about that, but you know, also if they score a bunch right at the beginning of the game, maybe you take an under just because, especially if Georgia's ahead, I think Georgia would want to run the football a lot. So depending on how the game is going, will depend on what kind of calls come. You know, Georgia's going to have to throw the football a little bit more if they get down by 2 scores. They don't want to have to do that. So you don't want to take an in-game under if that's the case. But I think if Georgia gets ahead early, an in-game under makes sense here. I guess the biggest point I'm making here is that I'm really excited about this game as a fan. I'm not going to bet on this game beforehand.
No, I mean, I think if you can get a reasonably juiced 7.5, you can make a case for Georgia. The thing that concerns me, a few things that concern me here, Georgia's offense, 7.85 yards per play in their 4 non-conference games, 5.54 yards per play in their 8 conference games. So they're not moving the football with a whole lot of proficiency against SEC defenses. And in that loss to South Carolina, 4.93 yards per play, they ran 95 plays in that game, had 468 yards, which looks great, but again, under 5 yards per play in that loss there for Georgia. The second thing about this is I agree Georgia's defense is really good. I understand that they've got a lot of playmakers. They've got a lot of talent. They've got Kirby Smart. That certainly doesn't hurt. But when you look at the level of competition they've played and the passing offenses, and in particular, the quarterbacks that they've played, what stands out? Nothing. Bo Nix on the road. Okay, Bo Nix was better at home, but, you know, he didn't have a great year from an efficiency standpoint. You played Texas A&M. Their passing game is very up and down with Kellen Mond. And Kellen Mond threw for 275 yards against them. It was on 42 attempts, but he threw for 275 yards in that game. Find me a good quarterback in the SEC East. Kyle Trask, maybe. You know, he's had a decent year. Kelly Bryant, well, he didn't play the game that they played against Missouri, so you don't have to worry about that one. Kentucky literally can't throw the football forward. South Carolina can't pass. Ryan Helinski's been hurt all year, so is Brian Edwards. They played Notre Dame. Ian Book's not great. Ian Book is fine, but Georgia has not played a pass offense anywhere near this season. So that's the question to me. What does this Georgia defense look like against this LSU passing attack? We don't have a point for reference. We just don't have one. So that's a massive unknown going into this game.
I think that's a tremendous point. You know, I knew that Georgia hasn't faced too many good quarterbacks, but as you go down through and just look at the week by week, you're thinking, man, nobody even in Joe Burrow's, you know, not even close to Joe Burrow, not even anybody who I would consider a good quarterback, let alone a great quarterback. So, you know, Ian Book is, you know, he's okay. I don't have anything against him, but I don't think he's really that good. Trask is okay. And like you said, I don't even know that Kelly Bryant really was that good, but he didn't play in that game. And Bo Nix is a freshman. Kellen Mond, to me, was a disappointment this year. I don't think anybody there is even close to as good as Joe Burrow. So definitely a question mark there. Georgia's secondary looks very good. Opponent's QBR is third best in the country, but, you know, it's easier to have opponent's QBR third best in the country if you played against Murray State and Arkansas State and Kentucky and teams like that who can't throw the football. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point. And if they get behind early, I don't like their chances here. I don't think Georgia's a team that can come from behind very well here. You know, they're a team that needs to be able to play from in front. So we'll see how this one plays out.
Excuse me. And this is one of those things, too. I think the biggest takeaway of the week here is these games are all on TV. They're all spotlight games. We're all going to be watching them. We're all going to be paying attention. But it doesn't mean you have to force a bet, because all 10 of these lines, side and total, really, really tight. So find your little matchup edges. Find some live betting opportunities. Find a derivative if you like it. Again, some teams with some second half incentive to run it up if they get that chance. The full games are very, very tight for this week's set of games. So I guess the primary takeaway I want to leave our listeners with, yeah, it's not the sexiest way to approach these games, but I don't see very much value out there. And really, you know, if you're out there betting these games, unless you feel like you've truly got an edge of some kind, you're flipping coins for the sake of flipping coins, because you're going to watch it, and that's not how you win long-term.
Right. Flipping coins and paying juice and doing it, not the way to go about it. There's going to be better opportunities in bowl season than what we have right now, definitely. Just to say, you know, I've only made one play so far this week in college football, and every single total on Saturday is within 2 points of my number. So, you know, that's very rare to see. You know, I try to have some edges and push some edges on totals, but these are really tight numbers. You know, definitely a good point to say that, you know, if somebody's playing in just about every game this weekend, I'd be very careful. I think that this is a dangerous week for the normal bettor.